Octonaut, to your stations.
Barnacle! Wazzy! Pacer!
You're listening to Noah and the Octonauts, an episode-by-episode discussion about the children's television series, The Octonauts, which features a crew of quirky and courageous undersea adventurers. Their mission? To explore the world's ocean, rescue the creatures who live there, and protect their habitats.
Explore! Rescue!
Protect!
Our monthly podcast will bring together experts from inside and outside of NOAA to help you and the children you care about learn more about the real-life versions of the Octonaut sea creatures and the ocean they call home. This podcast is hosted by NOAA's Office of Education and the Coastal Ecosystem Learning Center Network. And I'm your host, Gabrielle Corradino. Today we're talking about Episode 5, The Flying Fish. When a school of flying fish accidentally make off with a rare book belonging to Professor Inkling, the Octonauts rig up the Guppy to fly after them. Can they get it back in time before the school of flying fish fly away? Well, let's find out. Now, before we begin our chat, let's set the stage for today's deep dive. The fish in Episode 5 that accidentally take the professor's waterproof bag are a type of flying fish. Flying fish are known to swim near the surface water and are able to quickly jump out of the water. And this jumping behavior is thought to help the fish avoid ocean predators like tuna or swordfish. Flying fish often travel throughout the warm waters in our ocean in groups called schools, and their diet is mainly made of different types of plankton. Our guests today are here to answer all of our questions about flying fish. Here with us are Tina Miller-Way and Brian Jones from the Dolphin Island Sea Lab in Alabama. The Sea Lab sits on an island and is surrounded by Mobile Bay, Mississippi Sound, and the Gulf of Mexico. And while there are lots and lots of dolphins in the waters around the lab actually gets its name from the island that it sits on. The island was named for the French king who settled the area at the beginning of its European history. The Dolphin Island Sea Lab has over 80 types of fish in their education-based public aquarium. Tina is the chair of the Discovery Hall program for education and outreach, and Brian is the aquarium curator. And they're both here with us today to share a little bit about what they do. Thank you so much for being here, Tina and Brian. Can you tell us more about your roles at the Dolphin Island Sea Lab?
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it. Yes, here at the lab, I help people of all ages, but especially young people, learn more about the ocean. Hopefully, they'll understand how important it is to all of us, not just the folks who live nearby, and help to take care of it by studying it, helping to solve its problems, or just by sharing what they learn with others.
Hi there, thanks for having us. I lead a fantastic team of animal care experts at our public aquarium. Not only do we take care of fish, crabs, turtles, frogs in our facility, but we also interact with the visitors who are eager to learn more about our local habitats and the great animals that live here.
Well, we are really lucky to have both of you here with us today. And I would love for both of you to just explain maybe which Octonauts job do you currently have at the Sea Lab? Do you think that you're a researcher like Shellington, an oceanographer like Inkling, or maybe a systems analyst like Dashi, or a leader like Barnacles?
They're such fun characters, but I think I'm most like Shellington. I really enjoy learning new things about the ocean. I love to be out on the water, on the sea, especially at nighttime. And like Shellington, I'm easily distracted by learning new things.
And my job is probably most like Pesos. I tend to look out for the health of the animals in our aquarium.
Well, let's dive into the Octonauts team adventure with the School of Flying Fish and the Professor's Book. Tina, does your job involve flying fish at all?
Well, indirectly, I think. We share information here with all of our visitors, both visitors that come here to the island and also visitors that we connect with virtually. And we share information about all kinds of fishes, and that includes the flying fish. I have seen flying fish in the Gulf of Mexico when I went to sea on long trips to do research, but I didn't study them. I studied mud and worms.
Oh, that sounds so interesting, Tina. We're definitely going to have to make sure to have you back for a separate podcast all about mud and worms and your sea adventures. What about you, Brian? Does your work involve flying fish at all?
Well, like Tina, my job doesn't directly involve flying fish. They are one of my favorite fish in the sea, though, so I love teaching people about them. I have had the opportunities to be on similar long trips at sea, like Tina, and was able to study them briefly in small observation chambers before releasing them back to the sea. With the flying fish's energetic lifestyle, they're not really that suited for aquarium life.
Well, it sounds like the both of you have seen flying fish quite a few times. Brian, after I watched the episode, I was left wondering, do flying fish actually fly?
While it looks like they're flying, these amazing fish actually glide through the air after launching themselves from the water.
So after the fish launch themselves out of the surface water, approximately how long can these fish stay out of the water for?
In one burst, the flying fish can glide over 600 feet. And if they are in the air and need to go even farther, they don't have to completely start over. As they get closer to the surface of the ocean, as they're coming back down, they can wiggle just their tail in the water and propel themselves even farther.
So where can I find these flying fish jumping out of the water in the wild? Are flying fish common?
They're quite common in the ocean, but they tend to live relatively far from shore, at least in our area. They're found in warm ocean waters all over the world, and they definitely prefer areas where food is concentrated, like floating patches of sargassum seaweed. In our part of the Gulf of Mexico, flying fish tend to stay well offshore, away from the influences of coastal rivers and the fresh water that enters. When we see them glide away from the bow of our research boat, we know we've arrived in that beautiful offshore deep blue water.
Well, that just sounds like an incredible sight, Brian. Tina, I want to hear from you, and I want to know, you know, can you tell us a little bit about the Dolphin Island Sea Lab research and what is currently being done with fish biology?
We have many fisheries scientists here at the Sea Lab. Some of them are studying Gulf of Mexico fish that we like to eat, like red snapper and amberjack, and trying to figure out how many of them there are so we know how many we can catch and eat, of course, and still have snapper or amberjack to catch next year and the year after that and the year after that. Other scientists are studying those patches of sargassum where flying fish like to lay their eggs and hang out while they're growing. We need to figure out how important those patches are and what happens when there's an oil spill. One of the things that happened after the oil spill was that the sargassum patches got covered in oil. And some of the scientists here are studying invasive species, kinds of fishes that don't normally occur in the Gulf of Mexico, like the lionfish, who've had a big impact on some of our local fishes. And some are studying what happens when we put man-made structures or what are called artificial reefs in the water. Many fish like to hang out around structures in the ocean. So if we add some, do we allow more fish to live there? Or do we simply make the fish easier to find and catch? And those are some of the things that the fisheries scientists here at the Sea Lab are studying.
That's some really important research that's being done, Tina. Thank you so much for sharing that about the Sea Lab. And thank you both, Brian and Tina, for being here with us today and answering all of our flying fish questions. We appreciate your time and help.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That's the OctoAlert. We want to hear your questions. What would you want to ask an expert about flying fish? We'll make sure to pass along these questions to our NOAA scientists and aquarium educators. Just head to NOAA's Office of Education Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to post your questions, and we will post the answers. Well, that's it for today's show. To learn more about fish of all kinds at the Dolphin Island Sea Lab, check out their website at disl.edu. NOAA Fisheries also has some fun flying fish pictures of all kinds in their photo library, which will be linked in the transcript in the podcast. I'm Gabrielle Corradino, and this has been NOAA and the Octonauts. See you next month!
Calling all Octonauts!
Quasi! Peso!
Charter! Dishy!
Inkling!
Wait!
Quasi, activate creature report.
Creature report. Creature report.
Creature report.
Flying fish can soar and glide.
Check, check, check.
They spread their fins and take a ride.
Check, check.
They leap out of the water into air. The tail fins push to get them there. Flying fish are quite a sight.
Check, check.
Swimming up so fast, and then taking flight.
Chance break!
Go flying fish! Go flying fish! Go flying fish!
Creature report! Creature report!
Creature report!
We're done with our mission!
Octonauts at ease!
Until the next adventure!